Welcome to Season 3 of Love in Context. This season, we're exploring the life of Jesus, step by step, and uncovering what his story teaches us about loving God and others. Here on Love in Context, we're all about having real conversations about how to live out that love in practical, everyday ways, and understanding the Bible in its full context. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive into Season 3 of Love and Context. Welcome back to the Love in Context podcast.
This is the segment of the show where we see how many times Ben can say podcast before you guys hang up on us.
Hang up? Yep. Are they on their phones?
Yeah, I'm old school.
We are in the middle of the life of Jesus, and we're in the Sermon on the Mount, part two. Mm-hmm. Hold on, I'm going to give myself a video. Two. And you know what that means? Today we're going to talk about murder.
Yeah. We should preface this, though, because when this is not about murder. We'll get there, okay? We'll get there. As Ben and I were prepping for this, yep. We were like, wait a second. We are not moving as fast as we thought we were going to move
Correct.
Through this. So what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through it. We're going to go for about 45 minutes, and we're going to get as far as we get.
Yep.
And then
we may pick up in part three.
Yeah.
That might be coming.
And hopefully we don't make it to part 17 of the Sermon on the Mount.
If you guys are wondering about my t-shirts, this is one my wife got me. It says, bookworm, ? Please, I'm a book dragon.
Mm.
So that is quite accurate for myself. Yeah. All right. So reminder, if this is your first episode, it's super weird that you jumped in on a part two for the first episode, but just in case that's the case, mm-hmm. We started in the Beatitudes and, we talked about Jesus says, hey, the kingdom of God is coming for these types of people.
Yes.
And when you are these types of people and people are coming after you because you follow me, you're going to be blessed. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you get to go run and hide. You have to go and be in the middle of everything. You're mm-hmm. You're salt of the earth. You're the light that's going to be put on a hill. I'm not coming to get rid of Torah. Don't mistake that. Like Torah is not going away, but in fact, I'm coming to fulfill it or put it on display. And then let's see, what was the last thing that they talked about? Oh, go and do good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Go do Torah so that when people see the things you do,
mm-hmm.
they glorify your God in heaven.
Yep.
Right? Your Father who is in heaven. And then, so then he's going to pick up and start going through and he's going to start talking about some ideas behind Torah that have been wildly misunderstood in their day. Mm-hmm. And Jesus goes back and says, he's going to use a tool called, I forget what the name of it is, but it's a rabbinic tool.
Mm-hmm.
You have heard it said, but I say unto you.
Mm-hmm.
This is not upping the ante.
No, Jesus is actually, we talked about this a little last mm-hmm. week for those who are joining us. He's actually correcting two lines of thought.
Yeah.
We have misunderstand Torah, Jewish line of thought
mm-hmm.
that he's correcting. And then we also have the bleeding in of the Roman culture.
Correct. Greek and Roman thought.
And so he's correcting some of that as well.
So when a rabbi says, you have heard it said, but I say unto you, whenever mm-hmm. you see in the scriptures where they say he taught as one with authority, Shmika is the mm-hmm. Greek or Hebrew. This is what they mean with authority. In other words, you're interpreting the original meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus is going to go and do that. So we're just going to jump in. We are in Matthew 5, going to start in verse 21, read the first section here.
Okay,
so right off the bat. So right before this says, for I tell you, this is verse 20, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you have heard it said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in the danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and then remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you pay the last penny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. According to Jesus, when the law says in the Ten Commandments, you shall not commit murder,
mm-hmm.
it means all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
This is the intention behind the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what Jesus is correcting here is he's correcting the interpretation of relationship.
Right.
Right? Because we often will interpret murder as an action, which it is, but why did that action take place?
Right.
Right?
If you go back to our Exodus series, which I probably will, I'll stitch in here. Mm-hmm. We did talk about the Ten Commandments. We talked about these vertical relationships, these horizontal relationships, and how loving God and loving others are actually connected inside of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And so murder isn't just about murder. It's also respecting and honoring the person that's in front of you.
Yes. And so what Jesus is doing is he's saying, hey, it's not just about whether that person lives or dies.
Yeah.
Right? It's about your relationship with that person.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so let's take a look here. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a little bit difficult in, I'm just going to say, American culture. So I know we have some people that listen internationally. Cool. I love that. But in American culture, it's a little bit difficult because we say things all the time that we don't mean.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's very different in honor shame culture, turn of the century Jewish culture. Mm-hmm. What they say, their words, the things that they say, mm-hmm. you don't say something if you don't mean it,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're not willing to put your whole person behind it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And so when you're talking, you're calling your brother, sister, Raca, which is, you know, basically moron, mm-hmm. right? Or you're calling somebody a fool. In other words, like you have no brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not just a passing insult. Like I'm gonna make fun of Spencer for his whatever. Right,
so you can't even think of it either.
No, actually, the problem was I had too many things, and so I was like, "How do I narrow down to just one?"
No, you're making that up.
but it's a very different thing. Whereas if I was to the more equivalent is like if I was to actually try to impugn something about your character,
mm-hmm.
it's a much more significant thing.
Yep.
Right. Where I'm not only, it's not something I'm saying to be funny, to even in anger, it's something I'm saying to literally hurt you.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is saying, he's like, hey, when you talk about people in this way,
mm-hmm.
when you talk about them in order to tear them down, to rip them apart, to cause wounds,
mm-hmm.
it's a problem.
Yeah.
And it's the same as murdering. Okay. Not the same as obviously one person dies and one person's still alive. But it's the same concept. When do not murder was always supposed to turn you into the kind of person who lived at peace with those around you,
mm-hmm.
who built people up, mm-hmm. who cared about each other.
Yeah.
Not who never messed around, but mm-hmm. people who actually were invested in building each other up, not tearing or cutting into each other. That is a massive issue. Like we wouldn't think necessarily in the church today that murder is an issue, mm-hmm. but according to Jesus, this law we struggle with because we still tear people down inside and outside the church all mm-hmm. the time.
I mean, you hear it. I mean, just go listen to religious commentary on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it all the time, right? And oftentimes what we do, and like, and don't get me wrong, like you've heard us say that we're not going to just go out and badmouth people, mm-hmm. right? Right. There is a time and place for correction and there is a time and place to call someone out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But with that said, we often just jump to that to justify our thinking.
Yeah.
Right. And Jesus is this passage will actually tie back into I think it's later in Matthew where when it's talking about dealing with correction with a brother or sister,
mm-hmm.
where it's saying, no, don't just immediately go to bad mouthing them or taking them to the court.
Like, right.
Go have a conversation.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to listen to you, like maybe bring a third party in.
Yeah.
To help mediate that conversation. Right. And
can you imagine if the first time you found out somebody had an issue with you is when they brought it up in front of the entire church?
Mm-hmm.
I want to tell a story. Can I about this? I was a part of a charitable organization in town, and this person brought up a slight that they had with the other person. So we do this thing where we talk about things we're happy about that we've been engaged in the last week, right? We're like, hey, this was really cool, and you know, we just tell them basically the group about cool things that have happened. Person gets up and they say, well, I was. Talked down to and blah, blah, blah. It goes on this really, really long description of like everything that happened to them and then says, and it was this person. They're like sitting two chairs away from them. And I have never been in as quite awkward of a situation mm-hmm. or tense of a situation. Like, cause everybody was like, what is going on? Right. Like it was weird for it to happen in that situation because like the person had no idea. They never talked. Nobody, like the people who are in charge of the organization, nobody talked to them. There was just like, we're going to bring it up in front of like 45 people
mm-hmm.
all at once.
Yeah. And And yeah, that's just ridiculous, right?
I mean, it was you know those situations where you're there and you're like, man, if I had a knife, I could just cut this and put mm-hmm. it on a slice of bread because that's how thick it is.
Yeah, right. In all the ministries that I've led, there's been one rule I've had about conflict. Mm-hmm. It was like, if you have an issue with me, come talk to me, mm-hmm. right? And here's the deal. If you can't find the nerve to come talk to me about mm-hmm. it must not be that big of a deal.
Right.
Right? Like... Well, like, I'm here. I want to help resolve it. I want to be here for you.
Yeah.
We're brothers, sisters in Christ. But it's like, if it's like, you know, I just can't work up the nerve to go talk to Spencer about it. I'll be like, all right, well then can we at least call that out and say what that is?
And at the very least, you couldn't grab one other person and say, hey, they're here just to sit with me while I talk with you.
Yeah.
Like not to interject.
Right.
They're just there to be there to be moral support.
Yeah.
While you go have a conversation. Like I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I've had that happen where somebody's like, well, because I have an intense personality. I don't know if you know that.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's shocking to you.
I know.
And so sometimes I can set people at edge with my personality mm-hmm. and they'll be like, oh yeah, such and so needs to come. And they sit there and I was like, yeah, let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. Though the downside to that is I was like, right before this, you were talking about me.
Mm-hmm.
That hurts.
Yeah, I've gotten to a point where I just really don't care if people badmouth me behind my back. Like, I'm like, okay, like, if you're not going to come talk to me about it, then it's obviously not that big of a deal.
That's good. Clearly, yeah. You're not reading the comments of our video. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. They nobody wrote anything.
to be clear, I don't read the comments.
That's true. That's
true. Ben reads the comments and responds to some of them. I don't really go down that road.
So,
not that I don't want to talk to you. I just don't.
So Jesus, I think it's interesting that the first thing he talks about is this law of murder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so because one of the first things that trip us up in following the faith, because what has he really been talking about? Here, the kingdom of God is ready to interact with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to go and do good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
We're not abolishing the Torah. We're putting it on display.
Be salt and light, right?
Yeah. You're going to make each other mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you don't do? Tear each other apart.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this section right here, this little section we're covering right now, and I'm probably spending too much time on it, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
This is 80% of the church's infighting.
Mm-hmm.
If we could get a handle on this, we could figure a lot of things out.
Mm-hmm.
Not we have disagreements. Of course, we can talk. We always have disagreements.
Mm-hmm. Ben and I disagree on stuff.
Mm-hmm. And my wife and I disagree. Right. Mm-hmm. And then me and other, maybe I'm the problem. No, but you know, like,
you know, we'll go with that.
But if you get two personalities, like nobody's going to agree about everything 100%. Mm-hmm. As like you have Jesus's followers being Essenes and Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians and zealots and tax collectors and women, right? Like they're not all going to agree.
No.
Right. And he says like, so one of the first things you got to know is when you disagree, you know what you can't do? You can't just rip somebody a new one. You mm-hmm. can't just like stab them in the back and be like, well, y'all are Christians, so you got to forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's true, but also you're getting handed over to judgment. Like, you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you're supposed to behave. Do not murder is supposed to do something in you beyond just not killing people.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like 3,000 years ago, okay, don't murder. Totally on track with that.
Yeah.
It's been thousands of years.
Yeah.
It does more than that.
So the other side, the other thing that this is correcting a little bit is the creeping in of Greek and Roman culture.
Yeah.
Right? Because actually murder was entertainment.
Yeah.
Via the fights in the Colosseum.
Well, and not just that. Yeah. Let me read this section because this will play into the Greek and Roman. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court.
Mm-hmm.
Do it while you're still together on your way. Your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not be out until you paid the last penny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sounds a lot like Greek and Roman ideas to me.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, this idea of like, hey, don't murder, like, because the Greek and Roman culture were very much like, this person wronged me, I'm going to stab them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a lot of that went on. And if you don't believe me, just go do your research on the number of Caesars who were assassinated or attempted, or there was attempted assassinations on their life.
Yeah.
It's actually really high.
Yeah, really high.
Really high. And so.
I mean, that's not even playing into how many senators were assassinated in the Republic and all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
No, and yeah, there's a whole thing to it. But Jesus is saying, hey, we're not going to be like them. like it actually comes back to the idea of the Exodus, where it's like, hey, actually the people are going to leave Egypt and they're going to be set apart.
Right. You need to leave Egypt, though. Mm-hmm. Yep. Stop taking Egypt with you.
Yeah.
Right. In this case, don't take Rome with you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take your human ideals into what God is, the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Right. So if this is like, this is a massive thing. So I don't want to go off of it too quick, but I feel like we're going to beat it into the ground if we go any further. But we just have to understand this thing about when we're engaging with each other, the goal is always restoration, not to be right.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's okay to be right.
Mm-hmm.
But you shouldn't be like being right at the behest of someone else getting hurt.
Yeah.
Is not helpful.
No.
Now I hear clicking, clacking, and they're like, well, what if they're like preaching a heresy? And I was like, listen, like you can't control whether or not people get hurt when you interact with them. Mm-hmm. Like just in general. I was like, but if it's as much as it's up to you,
mm-hmm.
live at peace.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about there's places for confrontation, right? Mm-hmm. If you are in authority over somebody, it's okay for you to go and have a conversation with them, though you need to respect your authority because it comes from God,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you need to love the person that you're going to have a conversation mm-hmm. with, or you need to have a connection with the person you're going to correct.
Mm-hmm.
You don't correct without connection.
Nope.
Because otherwise, you're not speaking truth in love. You're speaking something,
mm-hmm.
but it's not in love.
Nope.
So if tearing each other down, anger, backbiting, all these different things are the number one thing that we see dealing with in the church. What would you say is the number two issue that we deal with inside of the church?
Complacency.
Complacency? Well, let me give you one up here. It actually shows up next. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in her heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy sexual ethics in the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a problematic thing.
It is, yeah.
Pornography is rampant in the church, mm-hmm. Sexual infidelity, mm-hmm. People, you know, all sorts of stuff that goes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And like how many ministries have fallen because some pastor is not being held accountable, not being honest, like hiding things, has an affair, has whatever it is, right? Yeah. It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's like number one thing that tends to divide churches is people saying things, doing things they can't take back.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly, right behind that is sexual issues,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the hyperbole that he goes out here, one of the things that's interesting in some of the commentary, if you get into linguistics here, what they're not saying is to cut out your right eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's hyperbole being like, if it was a choice between your eye and going to hell, get rid of your eye.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because it's hyperbole, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're giving an example of not what to do literally, but how to choose your battles, right? Like
right.
If you're going to, if it's like, hey, if it's look at pornography or go to heaven, like mm-hmm. those are your two options. They're saying like, which one are you gonna set down?
Right.
Let's set down the pornography.
Yeah.
Right. If it's like, hey, if this thing is getting in the way of your relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not content in the life that he's given you.
Yeah.
Right? Then maybe we need to set those things aside and focus on Jesus.
Right.
Right? That's kind of what it's getting at here, right?
Right.
It's not saying, please hear us loud and clear. We're not saying go gouge your eyes out every time you're like, hey, that woman's attractive or that guy's attractive, right?
Right.
Because let's be real, we would have a very blind church very quickly.
In fact, one of the things Paul's going to say later is he says that I take every thought captive,
mm-hmm.
which means that Paul has thoughts,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because you can't take thoughts captive that you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So we live in a fallen world. You're going to see things.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, what are you doing with those once you have them?
Yeah.
Right? Like, are you being intentional about like... and I also love this whole idea, if your right eye causes you to sin, like your eye is not in control of where it looks.
Mm-hmm.
It's your brain. And mm-hmm. obviously, biblical authors are going to have a different understanding of anatomy than we do. But still, like they would say your heart would be controlling it.
Yeah.
Also, your hand isn't causing you to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like something else is controlling your hand. And so like the hyperbole here is like, sure, you would cut those off. But it's kind of like a person who says, well, I struggle with pornography, so I just don't have a phone where I can access the internet. Okay, but does that actually address the issue of why you're looking at it? Mm-hmm. Do you actually value somebody like the opposite sex as images of God? Mm-hmm. Or do you see them as tools of pleasure? Mm-hmm. Like, that's there's a hard issue there. Mm-hmm. And sure, you can get rid of your phone. Like, what I'm not saying is there are great safeguards to try to break addiction. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm not saying anything against those. But you can't live a life where it's like focusing on the punishment. You actually have to live into something, not away from something.
Yeah. Also, just if someone's listening and is struggling with this and this is hitting home, because this mm-hmm. is kind of a heavy topic.
It is a heavy topic.
Right? And you're like, yeah, my phone is a real issue. There are actually accountability apps mm-hmm. that you can download. I think like Covenant Eyes is one of them.
Yeah.
Where like you can download it and you can, and actually what it does is it gives somebody else, you give somebody else who's trusted mm-hmm. in your life permission to see what you're actually looking at.
Preferably somebody who's not going to call you Raka.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. Again, somebody who's trusted, who yeah. like confess the issue to them, be like, hey, this is an issue I've yeah. been dealing with. I need some accountability. There are ways that you can safeguard yeah. this, right? I don't want you to feel like you're alone.
Yeah. No, this, there are right? a lot, many, many people who struggle with this, mm-hmm. and it is an ongoing struggle.
Yeah.
This is one of the reasons why, but the problem is because if you don't talk about it, it manifests in the dark. You remember a couple weeks ago, we're talking about, mm-hmm. evil people do evil things in the dark and they don't like the light coming out.
Yeah.
The thing is that when they went to Samaria, they're in the light and they all bring their stuff out mm-hmm. to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. Light exposes sin and you have the ability to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Having conversations about this, real conversations, actually help you find mm-hmm. freedom. Living by the Spirit, you are powerful enough through the change work of Jesus Christ
yeah.
and the empowering work of the Holy Spirit, you can conquer sin mm-hmm. through his power.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need people around you who remind you that.
Mm-hmm. And so we've talked about this too, but the other thing that Jesus is doing is he's counteracting a Roman practice. Mm-hmm.
Sexual ethics are quite questionable in Rome.
Yes. One of the things that actually was pretty common in Rome and Greek culture was what they would call street pornography mm-hmm. or street prostitutes, where it actually would literally just be a prostitute on the side of a street with, you know, with a mat or something, and you could just do your thing with them in public right there.
Yeah.
That was a pretty common thing for a lot of Roman cultures.
There's also like worship of the gods mm-hmm. that there's like shrine prostitutes yeah. and all sorts of things mm-hmm. like just very different.
Yes. Yeah. Very different. You get over to places like Ephesus where you have the temple of Aphrodite, mm-hmm. right? And some of the practices that went on there.
Yeah.
We're skimming the surface on this. Go do your own research on it. It is a very heavy topic to research. Just yeah. heads up on that. But so Jesus, again, he's not just saying, okay, let's talk about it from a Jewish perspective. He's like, we're also going to counteract.
Yeah. And I think like the bigger idea is, and when you come back where he's like saying, listen, it's great that you're not stepping out on your wife, but when you're watching other people, mm-hmm. when you're engaging in these activities, you are, mm-hmm. you know, you are stepping out on your spouse. And I'll say spouse rather than wife because, it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's don't commit adultery was not supposed to be about just not committing adultery. It's about yeah. having fidelity with the person you're with.
Yeah.
Right? Actually investing into that relationship. So you mm-hmm. actually value that person. Why does God say don't commit adultery? Because he's faithful. Mm-hmm. Right? That's who he is. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to be in his image, what do we got to be?
Faithful.
Faithful. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, the next one it says, it has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. So, this section
you're
probably
just picking all the easy ones.
I know,
to talk
right?
About,
well,
right?
it's in the Sermon on the Mount, man. I don't know what you want me to do.
Wait, you're not skipping over hard text?
No, I'm not skipping over hard text.
No. All right. I
want to caveat everything we're about to say with people have used this section right here to beat people over the head and really make them feel bad. In situations where I don't know that there was an alternative, mm-hmm. right? They've been using this as opposed to how to live into a kingdom principle. They've used it to beat people, slice them up. They've actually Dunn's so, first part where we're talking about murder. Yeah, that's what they do with
but
this.
But can we put this part in its context, though?
Yes.
Because this part follows the sexual immorality piece, mm-hmm. right? Right, and then now it goes into divorce. So really, like, when I've read this passage, I've really actually taken these two spots and just kind of have read them as one.
Let me read it as one here.
Yeah.
You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery.
So do you hear how that flows as one piece right there?
It's actually interesting to me because it's cut out your eye, cut off your hand. Now the two become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving a certificate of divorce, so you almost look at you're cutting off half of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And so we have to always put this little passage in its context because we will use this to be like, okay, well, the only reason for divorce in Christian culture is sexual immorality. And I'm here to say, no, there's, if you're in a relationship where someone's abusive or you're physically unsafe,
yeah,
right? There are other reasons to step out.
There is, and we will have a conversation mm-hmm. in a future episode on some of the texts that actually yeah. talk about this, because this is specifically Jesus is speaking to. You remember at the beginning of Life of Jesus, I talked about eight mm-hmm. great rabbinic debates. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They have a disagreement about whether or not you can divorce a wife for anything. She burns your toast. She does, you know, any of these anything that's incorrect, or there's like specific things that she does that you can divorce your wife. You can present her with the writ of divorce because you're just not wanting to be married mm-hmm. anymore. And it's interesting that Jesus actually, what he does here is he gives women some certainty,
mm-hmm.
right? He gives them some, which by the way, is happening in Torah throughout. He's giving them some security. You can't just divorce your wife because you're unhappy with the way she cooked.
Yeah.
Or the fact that, you know, X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, you know that debate that's going on right now?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, marriage is about growing together.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to throw my wife under the bus. I know she doesn't listen, and she'll acknowledge 100% what I'm about yeah. to say here. When Lindsay and I got married, Lindsay could not cook to save her life. All right? Like, it was like she would, like, she smoked us out of the house one time because she tried to, like, fry jalapenos, and, like, we were all, like, in the house, like, crying
yeah.
because it's... fried jalapenos. And so we're all like out on the deck, and like, you know, this was the early stages of marriage, right?
Right.
Okay. Now fast forward 10 years. All right. And if Lindsay's like, hey, I'm going to make a meal, it's going to be really good. Right. She makes really good hot dog buns, like, mm-hmm. like makes likes to make everything from scratch, and it tastes delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the reality is, we had to grow together in that,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, she had to be like, okay, I'm going to do better at this.
Yeah.
Right? She's like, I want to be faithful with my husband, and I want to give him the best I can, and I'm going to be better when it comes to this type of stuff. And like, the point being
yeah.
is that, like, a lot of times we'll find the little things and be like, it's just not quite what I want. And it's like, okay, we'll have a conversation. Like,
well, and that even shows up in the text. Yeah. Because, like, what's the issue with adultery? It's not just committing adultery. It's looking at somebody lustfully.
Yeah.
And you're, as like, if you're not invested in the fidelity of your marriage
mm-hmm.
and you're looking around uh-huh. to see what else is out there, and you're like, I like that more than I like this.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to present you with a writ of divorce. Like, the whole attitude is problematic.
Yeah. In fidelity in marriage, it's not just about intercourse, right?
Right.
It's about life together, and how are you living life that honors the other person?
Yeah, well, it's such an important mm-hmm. part of marriage, but it is not the most substantial part.
No,
right? It is a crucial part, but it's not substantial.
You're talking about intercourse.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, your marriage is going to be built on much more mm-hmm. than just that. It's partnership. It's it's you know, faithfulness and love and compassion mm-hmm. and building your lives together. Like, a lot of times now, my wife Tara and I, we will just like, we just know what the other person is thinking without having to do anything,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know how to engage things without her because mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I'm so used to having her here,
uh-huh.
you know, and she fills in like those, like, you know, who I am.
Yeah. So like my wife's traveled some this summer and I've stayed back here to work and it puts things into perspective of like, oh, just how much she does around the house because she loves us.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And like, and it's like, oh, okay. Like, cause sometimes you can take that for granted and sometimes you can kind of drift apart and be like, okay, you know, like she just does this. I just do this. These are our roles type thing. Right. You can kind of get in that rut and it's like, no, why are you doing that? And so
we had recommended in the last episode, I recommended a book called The Grand Conspiracy, The Divine Conspiracy, yes. by Dallas Willard.
So good.
And he does a thing where he's going through here, but like hopefully you're starting to see this pattern. First, we're talking about mm-hmm. don't murder is supposed to be about not attacking other people and mm-hmm. about finding ways to actually build them up. And oh, by the way, like be faithful to people. Don't go looking for the other thing that's out there, and don't be looking for a reason to get rid of people, especially mm-hmm. your spouse, your closest relationship. Like these are all connected. So then we get here again. It says coming into oaths. Again, you have heard it said to people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows that you have made. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no, and anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why does he say this? There's all throughout scripture things that he's talking about mm-hmm. right through here. I can think of many stories. Let's just take Judah and Tamar.
Yeah.
He makes a vow
mm-hmm.
that he's going to do this thing. One that he's going to, that he's going to make sure that his third son marries the Tamar. And then he doesn't mm-hmm. do that. And then Tamar goes and secures a child by yeah. her own stuff. And he, in that situation, vows a certain amount of money and prestige to her as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know if you guys have read that story. It's in Genesis, I think 35, somewhere in there. Yeah. It's a weird story,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
There are lots of stories like this in the Bible where people make oaths by heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, words aren't cheap here.
No.
Right? The words aren't cheap. So when you make this oath, God expects you to fulfill it.
Yeah.
And they put themselves in these oaths. And like think about this context of like adultery and looking out and seeing these different people and divorcing, and then you make oaths. If you make oaths to people that you can't fulfill because you're in commitment, oh, good golly.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's much better to just be yes or no.
Yep.
And by the way, you did make oaths uh-huh. when you got married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so all of this right now is written in the context of relationships with each other mm-hmm. and there's a context of marriage,
mm-hmm.
right? And when we're talking about yes be yes, no be no, okay, I think what happens is so often we take offense to that, mm-hmm. right? Right. I've had a number of conversations where people are just like, well, I don't know what to do here, blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay, like what are some boundaries you've set up in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, well, you know, that's really hard to do because that means I have to say no to some things or some people. And I'm like, yes.
Correct.
It is.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee you when you set up those boundaries and you have your yes be yes and your no be no, those relationships are going to be a lot healthier.
Mm-hmm.
And it also just not beating around the bush on it, just being like, hey, yeah, just be like, hey, yeah, that sounds great. I can do that. Hey, I can't do that. Or I'm unable to do that or whatever, right? What it does is it also provides clarity for the other person. So the other person's not left wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, often what we do in relationships, though, is we get into this like, whoa, like, how do you, like, we'll get into this, like, how do you feel about that when it comes to stuff that doesn't matter? Like, how do you feel about your coffee being too hot? I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a silly example, right?
Right.
But it, like, or like, how do you...
It's a silly example for us, but there's probably people yeah. who fight over that.
Yeah. Or this is a controversial one. How do you feel about pineapple on pizza?
Mm.
Right.
There's some people that you just like they
quit listening.
Their like, hackles raised.
We just lost 10 subscribers
yeah,
10 right there.
Subscribers.
right? And they'll be like, oh, how do you feel about that? When reality is if you asked beforehand being like, hey, do you like pineapple on pizza? And someone was like, yes, and the other person was like, no. Okay.
Yeah.
You have clarity.
Yeah.
You have clarity. You have understanding in your relationship. That's yeah. what this brings.
So this idea of like yes, no, boundaries, holding fast to your word. Mm-hmm. If you're going to make an oath, like just make it simple. Yes, no. Don't swear by heaven. Don't swear by the city. Like show up and do what you're supposed to do, and also be okay saying no.
Yep.
This next section is starting then because we've moved from individuals like overall just like fighting marriage, divorce. Now we're talking about O's like in general, right? But it's kind of like this hinge piece. The next section is one that we're very familiar with. You've heard it said, you have heard it that it is said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Okay, this is why, right again, personal, interpersonal relationship. Mm-hmm. What is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? What is the law always supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to make it so that you didn't seek an eye for a tooth or a life for an eye, right? It's about non-escalation, about not growing this this growing divide. It's about learning to live at peace with the people around you. Now, what Jesus is not saying here is that you need to be a doormat for people. So we've talked about this before, so I'm going to go kind of through it. If I am, it says, don't resist an evil person, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, you turn to them your other cheek also. If I slap you on the right cheek, I either slapped you with my left hand, which in Palestinian culture is the doo-doo hand, that's the hand you wipe with, or I struck you with my right hand, back hand, which is the way that you hit a slave or somebody who's lesser than you. So if somebody hits you and shows you disrespect, turn to them your other cheek and force them to see you as human. Right? This is not about just getting hit a second time. This is about acknowledging the injustice in front of you. If somebody sues you for, anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand them over your coat as well. So if they want to literally take the clothes off your back, you literally toss them everything and sit down there naked in front of them and point out the injustice of who they are. This is not about not doing anything. It's about standing in the midst of chaos with nonviolence, but confronting. If somebody wants to have you go 1 mile, okay, this is a Roman practice, right, where they can force anybody to take their stuff 1 mile. If then you go 2 miles. Now, the problem is that second mile, even though you voluntarily do it, could very well get those Roman soldiers into trouble. And once again, you are putting their injustice on display.
The other thing that's happening is you're living, you're the person who's receiving the injustice. One thing that's interesting here is they're actually silent. They're just living. They're like, okay, I'm just going to be someone who's gracious and faithful, and the world will see who you really are.
Yeah.
Right?
You're literally putting it on display. You're allowing their deeds. Interesting, because you do your good deeds, and it's going to remind people of your Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Here, you're silent, but you put their bad deeds on display. It's interesting.
Yeah. It, well, what it's doing is what you're actually doing is you're putting your good deeds, you're still putting your good deeds on display, and it's highlighting their bad deeds as part of it.
So connecting this to the next idea, and this is probably where we're going to end this episode for today. So you're confronting them in your, and so typically the people who are going to be hitting you, they're going to be suing you, they're going to be forcing you, are going to be your enemies. So you've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise in the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not, are not even the tax collectors doing that? Now, by the way, Jesus loves tax collectors, right? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Yeah.
So the point of standing in justice is not to make the other person evil. It's actually because you love them. You're confronting who they are, not through violence, but through silence, to your opinion, to your point, for the purpose of them changing.
Yeah.
For the purpose of them seeing who they are right there and giving them the ability to change. Right?
Yeah.
The opposite of love is not hate, it's apathy. When we don't care about people around us, it's problematic. When we don't care about people who are broken or hurting or even the evil people in our world, that's a problem.
Yeah.
I don't love that Jesus tells me I have to love my enemies.
No, me neither.
But I do understand that it is what puts the world back together.
Yeah. And this is just, you're saying this, but we're just going to reiterate it.
Yeah.
This part right here is really an invitation to view people how God views people.
Correct.
Right? It's not, like, we'll often be like, okay, love your enemy, but then we'll still secretly be like, they're my enemy. And it's like, well, no, because if you actually are being loving towards your enemy, they're actually going to turn to being your
friend.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it's an invitation to be like, where God's saying, hey, you know how much I love you?
Yeah.
It's like, that person over there that you've been bad-mouthing, he's like, I love them just as much.
Yeah.
Right? It's that invitation to be like, okay, we are, and oftentimes, reality is sometimes we view this in the context of like, okay, well, I'm a Christian, I go to church, that person's not, which it's like, okay, well, then that person still needs Jesus and Jesus still loves them. And then if you get into it in the context of two believers, right, mm-hmm. then you have to jump over to 1 John where 1 John's like, okay, where John's like, all right, here's the deal. Like, if you like say you love God, but you hate your brother and sister, like you're just a liar.
Yeah.
Right? Like he just calls it out.
Yeah.
And so you have to wrestle with that, right?
Because Paul's making the statement. He says the way that you love other people tells whether or not you love God.
Yeah.
Like the way that you treat people, especially people you don't like.
Yeah.
Says how you feel about God.
Yes.
Like you want a barometer of like how much you actually love God? Think about the way you treat people you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I hope that you're better at it today than you were a week ago or a year ago. Like, mm-hmm. God's not expecting perfection, but it's a process,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
So I want to reiterate real quick here as we're coming into a close. This last week we said Sermon on the Mount, Kingdom of God is here. It's ready to interact with you. Now, I want to talk to you about what this kingdom looks like. Mm-hmm. There's a certain kind of people that are supposed to live a certain kind of way. And when you live this way, you're going to get chastised.
Yep.
That's okay. You're going to be blessed in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be salt. You're going to be light. Go do your good deeds so they glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I'm going to remind you about things from Torah and what they were supposed to do in you.
Uh-huh.
And we're not doing away with them. We're trying to understand what they were always supposed to be.
Yep.
Live into caring about the people around you. Don't just avoid killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Practice fidelity. Don't just not cheat on your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Value commitment. Don't just throw away relationships.
Mm-hmm.
What you say matters.
Yes.
Don't escalate fights.
Mm-hmm.
Correct injustice, but also love those people that you're standing against,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, in their case, is the Romans,
mm-hmm.
the people who came in and conquered them and have put them into slavery and taxation.
Literally taking all their money.
Yep. He says those guys.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the going the mile, that's just a Roman practice.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely talking about Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Love those people, because if you just love the people who look just like you and treat you well, you're a part of a kingdom. It's just not the kingdom of God.
Yep.
And I think that's really challenging for us because it's really easy to love people who are lovable. It's really hard to love people who are, as I like to say, stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, and we all have unique personalities, right? Yep. Like we're all created uniquely. We are going to naturally be drawn to different people.
Yep.
Right. But what do you do when you have to love that person who annoys the crap out of you?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Love that person that you just want to grab them by the shoulders and like, be like, get it together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's how do you see people through Jesus's eyes to where you can love them like Jesus loves mm-hmm. them.
All right. That's going to be it for us today. We're going to kick up part 3 next week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be part 3 and that's going to be it.
Yeah.
But depending on where our conversation goes next week, I know that we are going to come back on a portion of the Sermon on the Mount that talks about prayer
mm-hmm.
in a separate episode because we want to talk about the practice of
yes.
prayer. If you have been listening to us for a while and you are wanting to revisit season 1, I got good news. We wrote a book.
Mm-hmm.
We took the conversations from the first season and you're in the middle of recording the audiobook. That's probably going to be available in the next month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And all the proceeds from that book, audio, everything is going to go to local ministries with Young Life.
Mm-hmm.
I have a book that's out. Beautiful Chaos is currently on Amazon. If you want to read about what it means to be part of the family of God, we use the analogy of becoming a parent. That's a good conversation to have. I think it's a good thing for us to correct. I was having this conversation with somebody, and they were just talking about how they're like, man, I just always thought that God was mad with me, and he just wants me to come home. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm glad that I wrote my book then, because if you understand that now, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
So happy about that. Yeah. So there's more stuff coming. Spencer and I do lots of stuff and get into all sorts of shenanigans. So we're going to keep you posted.
Yeah. And if you guys are like, man, it takes them a long time to get like some of the books and like stuff like that, we're waiting for that. Thank you for your patience. Ben and I work full-time jobs.
Yep.
And
sometimes more than one.
Sometimes more than one. And so this is something we're doing on the side. So it just takes us a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, podcast. And that's a wrap for today's episode of Love and Context. We hope this conversation encouraged you and gave you fresh insights into how we can better love God and others through the powerful truths of the Bible. We'd love to hear from you. Send your questions, thoughts, or suggestions to loveandcontext@gmail.com. Your feedback means the world to us and helps shape future episodes. Stay connected with us on social media for updates, behind-the-scenes content, and additional resources. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook at Love and Context. Be sure to hit that follow button and join our growing community. Thanks for being part of the Love and Context family. Remember, love is at the heart of it all. Until next time, keep seeking wisdom, embracing love, and living out your faith in today's world.